Kia ora e te whānau, welcome to the Māori Millionaire Podcast. Today we're going to talk about how to stop spending your emergency fund on random things because I get far too many messages about people wondering how we do this. Be honest, have you ever dipped into your emergency fund for something that was literally not an emergency? A sale, a weekend away, I've had a hard week treat. And you told yourself, I'll just put it back. But spoiler alert, sometimes we don't. And if that's you, this episode is not a lecture, it's a reset. Because the goal of an emergency fund is not to be perfect, it's to protect you. So let's talk about how to stop overspending or spending your emergency fund on random things without feeling restricted and ashamed of yourself. Okay, before we get into it, I just want to say, I've done this before. I've literally been there before when I would just take money out of my emergency fund and go to Kmart, take money out of my emergency fund, go out to town, and then I'd say I'll pay it back, and then, you know. So I've been where you are, and I know how it feels, but I'm going to talk you through some of the steps that really helped me. Number one is the mental reset. Your safety net, emergency fund, whatever the hell you want to call it, is not a just-in-case account. And once you start really accepting this, I think things will start to get better for you. Because when you don't have much money and you see a good amount of money sitting in an account and you want to live a life that you want to live, it's like, well, there's money there. And so one of the biggest things that you need to do is to really distinguish the difference between your money and emergency funds. So in my brain, my emergency account is not, like, it is mine and it is for my emergencies, but it's not part of my everyday spending. You know, it's so separate in my brain, I'm not allowed to touch it. And I know this sounds weird because there will be other areas of your life where you try and create rules for yourself. Maybe it's that you're not allowed donuts anymore, just going to make something up. For me, I'm so strict on this. It's like that emergency account is for emergencies. It's not for anything else. And I think what's made me like this is that there have been times where emergencies have popped up and I have been in one of those situations where I'm owing money back to my emergency fund. And so it's really hard in those times. If you've been there before, you know it. And so for me, it's like I never want to be there again. And so I've got to have some strict rules so that I don't get there. An emergency is, what I would do is I would open your notes app and I would write down what you consider an emergency to be. Usually it's unexpected, it's urgent, it is necessary. Things that you just have to do right now. It could be, like as an example, my brother lives on the other side of the world. You know, if something were to happen, I would want to jump on a plane straight away and to be able to, you know, do something. And so my emergency fund needs to be there for those emergencies. An emergency is not concert tickets. It's not a sale ending tonight. It's not a bad day. It's not I deserve this because it's been a crappy month. You know, and one of the things I'm really proud of myself for is I have, obviously, if you've been following my journey, I've been grieving my nan and it's been a really hard time. And the old me, she would have so blown that emergency fund by now, like so done it. But I'm just so strict. That is for emergencies. It's not for anything else. So number two of my tips is quite similar to this first one, but separate the money physically and mentally. Because if your emergency fund is sitting in the same account as your everyday money, it's going to get spent. It's not a willpower issue. It's just human behavior. If you have access to it in your main account, you're going to blow it, you know? So you can either separate it into a separate savings account. You can, you know, what's the word, detach it from your debit card, your FWOS card. You can create a two-to-sign account where you have a trusted person who is, you know, going to help you get it out when you need it out. You could put it at a different bank entirely and not have phone banking access to it. There are so many ways you can do this to separate it. One of the really important things is you want it to be accessible in an emergency. And usually emergencies happen very fast, you don't have warning, and you just need to access that money. So I would not make the hurdles too hard to jump through. You know, if you, for example, if you have your husband, if you're in a relationship and your husband is the two-to-sign account and you're always together, that could be helpful. But I would think about, like, in an emergency, what if your husband wasn't there to do the two-to-sign? Just want to throw some random ideas out there. You want it to be accessible, but far enough away that you're not going to dip into it all the time. just enough friction that you pause before touching it. Comfort comes from boundaries, and I want you to set those boundaries for you. Number three, I would, if this is your vibe where, I don't know, kids, you have lots of kids or you have some kids and they come home from school and they have a school trip and you end up dipping into your emergency fund because you don't have money elsewhere. What I would do is I would create a life happens fund. So this is separate to your emergency fund. I personally do not have this because usually with my little accounts that I have for all those different things, if things pop up, I'm all good. But this is just a strategy for people who might have a lot of things that just pop up out of the blue, but it's not an emergency. Things like school costs, birthdays, car maintenance, small trips, annual bills. Just, you know, predictable things. They're just irregular and they just always happen in the times where you never want it to happen, right? If you don't plan for them, you're going to keep on selling from your emergency fund. So if you create a different fund and it's called the Life Happens Fund or the Buffer Fund or the Peace of Mind Fund, whatever you want to call it, the fund handles those random things so that your emergency fund can stay for real emergencies. Number four on my list is to check what you're actually buying. Sometimes we're not spending money, we're soothing ourselves. And I've been there before where I would have an argument with someone, I would have a tough day, I would have an experience that I didn't enjoy, and my instinct was to go to Kmart to self-soothe. So I would buy nice candles, I would buy a new duvet cover, I'd buy some new cushions, I'd buy some cute things to put around my house. And a lot of the time it did make me feel better because I had all this dopamine being released by buying new things. But long term, this was not a strategy that I could use to cope with my emotions. Just like drugs or alcohol or anything else, you know, it can help you in the moment, but it's not a long term fix and it can actually make your life worse long term. I've been there before. So what I would do in those moments where you're at Kmart and you're wanting to spend money, and I'm just using Kmart as an example because that was my thing, but I would think about what is your thing? Is it that you go to concerts? Is it that you go out for dinner? Is it like, what is your thing that you use? What is your thing? So what I would ask yourself is, am I tired? Am I overwhelmed? Am I avoiding something? Am I rewarding myself because life feels hard? If you can just stop for a moment and ask yourself these questions, it's going to give you a little bit of space so that you can make the decision that's right for you. Money leaks are often emotional, not mathematical things. So as an example, when I used to go to Kmart, like one of the things that I started doing was, one was getting professional support from counselors and therapists and things to be able to learn better coping strategies so that I didn't have to spend money to make myself feel better. I want to give you something helpful, but I also want to acknowledge that I'm not a therapist and I think that getting professional support can be really helpful, but I know that not everyone's in a position to do that and it can be difficult to access things. And so I just wanted to share one thing that helped me, and that's learning how to slow down. So I used to be so quick. Something would happen in my life and I was straight into finding a way to make myself feel better. And one thing I started doing was noticing my responses to things, noticing my habits, noticing my patterns, noticing the things that I was doing in my life that was making it harder, that was making it worse. When I didn't put pressure on myself to change the habit, I just put some desire in myself to slow down and ask myself questions. I found that over time, I became so much better and stronger at being able to choose different. Because what happens is we have these habits, we have these normal coping strategies, and it can be really hard to just stop. It's like an addiction. And so you want to just slowly just learn, okay, I notice that when I get angry, I always go to Kmart. Okay, what's another coping strategy for anger? Can I go for a walk? Can I give myself just 30 minutes of time? That's one tip that really helped me, is giving myself just 30 minutes, just 10 minutes. So what you do is, instead of saying, I'm not going to Kmart, just say, I'm going to give myself 10 minutes and I'm going to go for a walk and I'm going to think about it. And like, chances are, once you've gone for a walk or once you've done something different for a little bit of time, you're probably not going to want to do it anymore. So one of my rules, I'm actually just going to create number five right here, One of my rules when it comes to money is I'm not allowed to make financial decisions. I'm not allowed to buy things when I'm emotionally dysregulated. So, and that also means impaired. So if I've been drinking or if I am having a hard time emotionally, I'm not allowed to make financial decisions. You know, when people say don't make big financial decisions when you're going through grief or, you know, trauma or things like that, it's exactly the same, but on a smaller scale. So I won't even allow myself to buy a book on the internet if I'm not feeling like, if I'm not regulated. And the reason I've created this rule for myself is because I used to be very emotional and I would make poor decisions all the time because I allowed myself to make decisions when I was emotionally dysregulated. So I've learned how to regulate myself and I'm only allowed to make decisions once I have. So just wanted to throw that tip in there. Number six is rename the account. So emergency fund, it can feel very abstract. And I talk about this in my book. The words that you use are so important. So you can rename it any name that works for you. It could be your sleep peacefully account. It could be future me's safety net. Do not touch unless everything is on fire account. It could be success fund. It could be peace of mind fund. It could be anything you want it to be, but giving it a name that really resonates is going to help you create this purpose around it. Number six, make it easy to rebuild when you do use it. Emergencies happen. That's the point of the fund. So instead of feeling guilty, have a plan. After you use it, restart your automatic contributions. Focus on rebuilding it, not punishing yourself. Celebrate that the system worked. So many people will message me and they will be so peeved off because they had to use their emergency fund for an emergency. And I'm like, girl, you literally saved an emergency fund for an emergency. Use your emergency fund to cover an emergency. That is something to celebrate. That is not something to be upset about. Obviously, we want to focus on rebuilding it, but so many people enter this shame pit when they use it, and it's like it's literally been used for its purpose. The goal is not to casually drain it, but the goal is to use it when an emergency comes up, okay? So create some systems to rebuild it when you inevitably end up using it. Number eight, remember what this money protects you from. So your emergency fund protects you from debt, from stress, from panic, from being forced into bad decisions. Every single time you do not touch it unnecessarily, you're choosing a future calm, a future that is free of stress, a future that is free of debt, a future that is free of panic. And just pausing to realize that, that's going to be really powerful. So if you keep spending your emergency fund, you're not bad with money. You just haven't given your money clear jobs yet. Separate the accounts, plan for life. Be honest about your emotions. Financial comfort isn't about restriction. It's about safety. Now, if this episode helped you, I would be so grateful if you could send it to someone who has wanted to do this as well, or share it on your story if this helped you. And if you want more tools to build money systems that actually stick, make sure to follow the podcast. I would be so grateful if you could rate it. And if you have any podcast recommendations or requests that you'd like to make, please always send me a DM over on my Instagram account. That's the best place to send me a message, because I would love to record an episode inspired by your questions. So that is us for today, Te Whanau. I will be back again tomorrow for another podcast episode. As I said, 30 days in, well, there's 31 days in January, but I'm going to post 30 episodes across January. So yeah. I'll be back tomorrow. Ka kite.